Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast on this sensational Sunday.
Yes, it is. I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. You know, I was reminded of a conversation with a friend of ours, Dan from West Virginia. While riding on a rental car shuttle bus in Atlanta, a man struck up a conversation with Dan. He informed Dan that he was running for Congress. He said he wanted to be remembered as someone who made a difference. The man then asked Dan how he wanted to be known. And Dan said he wanted to be known as the man with the picture.
That's not a picture, but a pitcher.
Pitcher.
A pitcher.
Like a water pitcher.
That's it.
Tea pitcher. Anyhow, he said the guy didn't have a clue what he was talking about. But as a matter of curiosity, I asked a couple of people about the man with the pitcher. And none knew the story. So our question on this call today is, if you want to be known as the man with the pitcher.
In Mark 14, verse 12, there's the address. In the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when, as was customary, they killed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you wish us to go and prepare the Passover supper for you to eat?" Now, this was a significant day in the life of Jesus, because it was the last time he would share a meal with his disciples before his arrest, persecution, and crucifixion. And in Mark 14, verses 13 through 16, in continuing on, in other words, in the Classic Amplified, it says, "And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the city, and a man carrying an earthen jar or pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. And whatever house he enters, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover supper with my disciples? And he will himself show you a large upper room furnished with carpets and with dining couches properly spread. And then ready there, prepare for us.' Then the disciples set out and came to the city and found everything just as he told them. And they prepared the Passover."
This is a very significant passage of scripture, one with life-changing, destiny-shaping revelation. So let's talk about seven ways to be the person with the picture. Number one, be a divine connection. At that particular time in history, men did not carry earthen jars or pitchers of water. Women did. The only way men carried water was in large animal skins, usually atop a donkey. Some would ask, why was this man carrying water? Was his wife sick, disabled, or dead? Probably not, because he would have had his children carry the water. Perhaps his world had come crashing down to where he was a servant in another man's house. But I personally think that's a stretch. The man was carrying the pitcher of water so that he could be easily identified in a large city like Jerusalem. Unknowingly, this man made and became a divine connection, facilitating the plan of God. He was in the right place at the right time by divine connection. The question for each of us, are we positioned to be a divine connection? Have you ever had some extra money come into your hands just in time to be a blessing to someone else? Honey, I remember 30 plus years ago.
Wowee.
Yeah, you were still a baby.
That's it.
When you felt led to send money to some single mother, you asked me about it, and it bore witness with my spirit. Now, you said this in a way that these women had no idea who sent them the money. But several days after mailing the money, I remember you overheard one of the women telling someone else with tears in her eyes how this money came through the mail just in time to buy some medicine for her son, who desperately needed it. We became a divine connection for this woman to bless God. Every time we bless others at God's direction, we become a kingdom connection.
Think of that.
God wanted to bless us so we could be a blessing to others.
And that is so true. 2 Corinthians 9:8 in the Classic Amplified says, "And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid of or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation."
Hallelujah.
And that's what he provides.
Yep. Number two, be a servant. Greatness is not measured by public perception, but rather a deliberate decision to serve others as God directs you.
In Mark 9:35 says, "And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all."
It's important to remember that Jesus spoke those words, the words in verse 35, just after the disciples had been arguing about which one of them would be greatest in the kingdom after he was gone. Now, that word servant in verse 35 is the Greek word G1249, and it means one who executes the commands of another, a master, a servant, attendant, minister, the servant of a king, a deacon, one who by virtue of the office assigned to him by the church, cares for the poor, and has charge and distributes the money collected for their use. A study of other scriptures in which you find that Greek word for servant reveals that Jesus is really telling his disciples, if they want to be a leader, a minister to the people, they must be willing to listen to what the Spirit is saying and obey ahead of their own desires.
There you go. In Matthew 20:26, it says, "But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister."
Now, the Greek word for minister is the same word as servant. It's found 31 times, 29 verses in the King James Bible, and the terms servant and minister are used interchangeably.
How about that?
And that's what I believe that the man with the pitcher was doing. He was being a servant.
There you go.
Number three, be a leader. There are defining moments in our lives. We step into a position of leadership, sometimes knowingly, other times unknowingly. The man with the pitcher of water unknowingly led the way. Oh, thank you, Lord. The man with the pitcher of water unknowingly led the way for the living water, Jesus, to serve the disciples and ultimately each of us. Whether you see yourself as a leader or not, well, that really isn't the issue. God created and endowed each of us, you, me, each of us, with the seeds of greatness. He gave us the image of himself to be a leader in our own family, friends, church, business, life. If there's no other reason to be the leader God called you to be, there's a profound one that is found in 1 Timothy 5:17-18 in the Message Bible.
1 Timothy 5:17-18 in the Message Bible says this: "Give a bonus to leaders who do a good job, especially the ones who work hard at preaching and teaching. Scripture tells us, don't muzzle a working ox, and a worker deserves his pay."
Where are you in the role, your role as a leader? Are you willing to go the extra mile? Honey, you remember years ago we saw a cross stitch in an office, and it said, "Initiative is doing the right thing without being told to do it."
Let me tell you another one. I also saw one recently that said, "Go ahead and go the extra mile. It's not very crowded."
That's very good. So we need to be ever ready to accept an assignment from God. And truthfully, it may seem meaningless or mundane, But if God gave it to you, it is not.
That's going to be leading somewhere.
That's exactly right.
Number four, be a facilitator. Be a facilitator. According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the word facilitator means one that helps to bring about an outcome as learning, productivity, or communication. By proving indirect or unobstructive assistance, guidance, or supervision. The man with a pitcher was being a facilitator without even knowing the full impact of what he was doing or how he was being used. God wants us, each of us, to be used as facilitators. Do you have a friend undergoing a difficult time because of a diagnosis a doctor gave him? Or is there something that, you know, is going to be used? Let me put it this way. Is somebody going to... Go ahead, you tell me.
Let me say it. I want to say it.
Okay.
Is God going to use you? In fact, when you wake up in the morning, are you expecting God to use you to speak a word in the season?
There you go.
To someone? Are you being directed to send scriptural messages that will encourage them in their most holy faith? Then you are being used by God to facilitate a healing. The same could be said if the adversity is financial, family, or otherwise.
Perhaps God is using you as a witness to others to facilitate his plan for their lives and also for yours.
You know, honey, my dad.
Oh, yeah.
My 91-year-old father is a salvation facilitator.
I mean on steroids.
He makes it his business to be used by God to help change the outcome, the internal destination of every person that he meets.
Ephesians 2 verse 10 in the New Living Translation says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us." Listen to this. Long ago.
Glory to God and hallelujah.
Always wanted to use us to be facilitators. And like Harold said when he was reading about the man with the pitcher, sometimes we don't even know we're being used at the time until later. And then sometimes we may not even know on the side of eternity
how
much we're going to be used.
We determine things, the value of what we're doing, by the world standards instead of the word.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
And you got to know, if God directs you to do something, he has a purpose in mind, and he selected you to facilitate it, to make it happen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Well, we're not going to finish today.
Nope.
But we'll finish tomorrow.
Absolutely. So we want to encourage you to join us tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern.
That's right.
For Sunday Night Live. That teaching makes you jump up and down and shout. We always have an outline, and it'll bless you. 6 p.m. Eastern, go to heraldhearing.com. Click the button that says Join Harold and Beth, and just be there with us. If you can't do that, we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning at 8:30. Until that time, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.